All right, everybody, welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 249, presented by studentunionsports.com. Make sure to check out everything going on at studentunionsports.com, from the daily blogs to all the podcasts and everything else in between. You know them by now. You want soccer coverage, go check out the Yellow Card guys. You want all of your normal, I don't want to say normal because that's not the right word, but all your betting needs, go check out the Chasers Podcast. If you want everything that's going on in college football, with the college football playoffs coming up right around the corner, I believe Conference Championships are coming up this upcoming weekend.
Yes, they are.
You can check out the Is It Saturday Yet, Boys? And obviously for all your Boston sports needs, we at Legends Lingo got you covered. Alan Lehegan here. Tom Powder Cadden is here. Maddie Burnett here. The whole gang is here. Hi, guys.
Hey.
You know it's funny. One of my students actually does that to me now, and it's very, very funny. They're very, very funny. They really are. And they'll always say it to me. They'll just be like, "Hey," and I'm just like, "Hey." That's just like a little thing. So I don't know why it reminded me of that. I'm tired. It's Thursday, but anyways, we got a lot of stuff we got to talk about. The Patriots suck. The Celtics are cool.
Yep.
And we'll see about the Red Sox. All right, should we get it out of the way? Rip the Band-Aid off.
We do every week.
All right. Yeah.
Why change it up?
Yeah. All right. Let's do this. All right. So Patriots lose again to the New York Football Giants, 10-7. An absolutely ugly game. Mac Jones plays the first half, throws. How many picks do you have? Two picks?
Two.
Two picks, right? Yeah.
Like
yeah.
More.
Yeah, it did feel like more. Two picks. Bailey Zappe comes in, leads them down the field to a touchdown, leads the Patriots to the chance to tie the game in the remaining seconds of the fourth quarter. Chad Ryland comes on, misses a 35-yard field goal to tie it, to send it to overtime. Patriots lose. They are at 2-9 right now and still hold the third overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. As far as the game's concerned, guys, I mean, like, is there really anything to talk about? The only couple things that I can think of is, obviously, Mac Jones gets benched for the fourth time this year out of 11 games. So 36% of the time Mac Jones has gotten benched. So it is what it is with that. Your special teams is really letting you down once again. Nice job, Bill Belichick, taking Chad Ryland, who is 66% on both extra points and field goals this year combined. Meanwhile, your guy Nick Folk, I think, is overall 23 of 24 this year. Who's in Tennessee? So yeah, that was another great pick. Let's see. What else do we have in store? The Patriots cannot figure it out. Jabril Peppers, we actually caught wind of this today in a clip. Jabril Peppers and Saquon Barkley after the game were talking, and Jabril Peppers was quoted as saying, "You're lucky we ass." So basically saying they suck, which they do suck. Don't get me wrong. And to top it all off, to put the cherry on top of the sundae, after that game, the Patriots have been so bad that they are the first team, I shouldn't say team, but the first matchup to ever be flexed out of Monday Night Football in NFL history. So the Patriots were going to play the Kansas City Chiefs in Foxborough, Monday Night Football on December 18th. That has been moved to a December 17th, 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Thank God, just to say, thank God. But still, this is where this team is at. They're brutal. They're pitiful. Their offense sucks. Their special teams pretty much sucks. Their defense is okay. Their defense has been holding up their end of the bargain, giving up 20 points in the last two games to the Colts and Giants, who you should hold to low point totals. But, I mean, this is where we're at. And I can't believe it's gotten this bad. Maddie, I know we talked before the season started. I know you kind of were more cautious than anything. I know you said they had 9 wins, but even going in, you're like, don't be surprised if this team has a floor of 5-12. I didn't think the floor was going to be this bad. But it just continues to get worse and worse every single week. So I'm done with my rant. I want to hear from you guys. I'm going to mute myself for a couple minutes here. What are your guys' thoughts on the game? And then just everything else that was kind of thrown in the opening discussion.
Well, Powder, ladies first. What do you got?
Thanks. Basically, yeah, I watched that game, and for some reason I had a feeling they were going to come in back and win that game, which in all honesty was the first time ever that I was dreading a win, because at this point now, watching both quarterbacks play, I know there's no hope with the quarterbacks the Patriots have on the roster. Just from what I see with with Mac Jones. I've never played a snap of football, so but I've played sports in my life, but he just looks like a man without any confidence in himself anymore. He tries to make plays he shouldn't. Like, the thing is, when Bailey Zappe came in that drive, he led the Patriots down for a touchdown. He just doing short passes, just quick plays, get the ball out of his hand. And I feel like Mac Jones at this point now is just so out of confidence. I saw, I forget who tweeted it today, but said that the Patriots should just release Mac Jones to give him a chance to go to a different franchise and kind of restart. At this point, I couldn't agree more. I feel bad. At this point, I feel bad for Mac Jones as just a human. Like I said, he has no confidence, I think, in himself anymore. And it sucks to see the Patriots this bad, but hopefully they can keep losing, get the third overall pick, get a new quarterback, and kind of retool. And maybe this is finally the wake-up call. Kraft needs to get rid of Belichick. I think the Patriots just need to go in a completely different direction and just start over. Just a complete fresh start and see what happens. So, and then seeing them be flexed out of Monday Night Football, it's a good thing. Patrick Mahomes, who was my fantasy quarterback, so need him to win next week. I feel like it's going to have four touchdowns and just demolish the Patriots. It would be stupid to have that be your Monday night game when you want your best games on Monday night, and it's not going to be your best game.
Yeah, I mean, when you're getting benched for Bailey Zappe, who, you know, he's not that great either. Oh, God, it's, you know, I think this might be the last time we have ever seen Mac play, unless Zappe gets injured or really stinks it up on Sunday against the Chargers. I mean, what else is there left to say? This team sucks. There's really nothing left at this point. I'm looking forward to the off season at this rate. I'm looking forward to the draft, the whole draft process, because Patriots, they're in the driver's seat to take a quarterback, obviously at three, because the way I'm looking at it right now, there's no way the Bears are passing up on Marvin Harrison Jr. There's no way. They'll take him at one, and if it ends up being the Cardinals at two, they don't need a quarterback. Kyler Murray's looked good since he's returned from injury. They'll probably take either Joe Alt or the kid from Penn State, and then the Patriots can take any quarterback they want, and it's all pray to Jehovah or whatever we all believe in, that that it is Drake May at three and not Caleb Williams, because unless he shines and his pro day and his combine and all that. But I mean, I agree with you, Powder. It's time just to restart. It's time. Just take us all out of our misery. Like, if we could all just like drop some ecstasy or something just to enjoy these games for the rest of the year, that'd be fun. But it's just, there's nothing left. There's no enjoyment watching the Patriots on Sunday. It's more fun when me and my girlfriend, when Mac was back to throw, whenever we're like, oh, here comes an incompletion. Oh, here comes a pick six. Here comes an interception. It ends up being like a 5-6 yard game. We're like, oh, yay, awesome. But you know, that doesn't happen anymore. It's tough to watch this team and say, yeah, I'm having fun watching this team. I'm having more fun watching 31 other teams play, actually, which is sad to say, because, you know, the Carolina Panthers are worse than us. If Rodgers ends up pulling this miracle comeback with the Jets this season, I'm going to be like, yeah, I want to see if this actually happens here or not, or if, you know, or if this was all just BS or not. But yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm looking forward to the off season, and I like watching every other team that the Patriots play, because it's not even watchable football anymore. At least the 90s, that was watchable. This isn't even watchable.
Mm-hmm. Now a couple things with that, right? First of all, Mac Jones is completely broken and he's just not going to work out here. Like, I wanted to, and I kept telling you guys this, I wanted to give him the third year. He had the good first year, the bad second year. Let's see which side of Mac Jones we're getting. And we're seeing more of the second year Mac Jones, and it's a shame because that first year was so fun. He was making good passes. He was doing everything he needed to do. And now it's for nothing, right? And I do feel bad for the kid. I really do. Because I think if he's in a well-structured, well-organized system, I think he can be a good quarterback.
Not right now, three offensive coordinators in 3 years.
That certainly doesn't help. Having three different offensive coordinators in 3 years, like Powder just said, not a helping factor at all. The way that this roster is constructed does not help at all. Like, when you combine those two factors, what quarterback is going to be successful? Like, yes, I know you have your Mahomes and your Hurts and your Allens and stuff like that. That could probably make it better. But if you have a mediocre quarterback, even at best, like a Kirk Cousins, I don't even think Kirk Cousins could help this team. Or even a Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo wouldn't be helping this team. The point that I'm making is, yes, Mac Jones failed. I am fully okay admitting that. He failed here. But not all of it is his fault. A good portion of it is, but not all of it. But now you're looking at Bailey Zappe starting on Sunday, and honestly, it's well needed. Let's get in there. Let's see what Bailey Zappe can do. So do you guys want to just preview this game right away? Because we already know who the quarterback is. We know it's Zappe, which I think we all can agree was needed at this point. A change was needed, and now it looks like a change is going to be made, right?
Yep.
By a miracle.
Thank goodness. So now let's just preview it. Chargers at Patriots on Sunday. Chargers come in as 5.5-point favorites. This is going to sound crazy. And I'm not trying to sound like a Homer Patriots fan here. That's like, you know, obviously I'm a diehard Patriots fan like you guys are. But did something inside of you guys just say that there's some way they could win this game on Sunday? Like, has that crossed your mind at all?
A little bit. A little bit, only because the Chargers are not that good either this year. That's the thing.
Exactly. And that's the thing, right? The Chargers were supposed to be coming in and taking a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Now, but, and you put a bunch of other things into perspective too, right? First of all, the Patriots have won the last six regular season matchups against the Chargers going back to 2008. So they know how to beat the Chargers. That includes, by the way, rookie Mac Jones's year and the Cam Newton year when they won 45-0 in LA. The Patriots know how to beat the Chargers. Belichick knows how to beat Herbert. So that's one thing. Second thing is Brandon Staley. I don't trust him in a late game to lead the Chargers to a win. If it's a one-possession game, the Chargers will find a way to screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking if the Patriots keep it close on Sunday, for better or for worse, they might win the game. They might win on Sunday. I don't know. Like, I don't want to sound like that loser Patriots fan. Like, you want them to lose at this point, get the draft pick. But there's something inside me that just says, I think the Patriots got this one on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be that way, but look at all the factors. And by the way, this is the last winnable game of the season, folks, because you take a look at the rest of that schedule. At Pittsburgh on Thursday night, no. Home against the Chiefs, no. At the Broncos on Christmas Eve, no. At the Broncos on New Year, or yeah, at the Broncos on New Year's Eve, no. Home
well, you can't play the Broncos twice, Al. You got to play them once.
Did I say the Broncos? Oh, sorry.
Broncos are on my birthday, Al. Then the following week,
it's at the Bills.
Buffalo.
Yeah, it's at the Bills. I thought I said the Bills on Christmas Eve.
I think you reversed
it. I did reverse it. So let me try that again. So Broncos, at the Broncos on Christmas Eve, no. At the Bills on New Year's Eve, no. Home against the Jets. I mean, I know the Patriots beat the Jets, but if Aaron Rodgers is back, I'm going to be rooting for Aaron Rodgers to throw 5 touchdown passes in Gillette to give the Patriots the top pick that you can give them. It's really sad, but I mean, the Chargers, they have a high-powered offense when it's working well. Justin Herbert, obviously one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But again, it comes down to, in a late game, will the Chargers execute? And I don't know if they can. That's the problem that I have. I think this is the last chance the Patriots have to win a game in the 2023 season. So that's just my little take on the game. Guys, if you want to chime in real quick, then we'll just give our quick score predictions. Go ahead.
I mean, the only thing I guess that's worth mentioning is that Belichick does, you know, he has not lost to Justin Herbert, as Herbert has not figured out the Patriots yet. He's figured out almost every other team in the league, but he has not figured out how to beat a Patriots defense yet. Maybe that's the only edge that the Patriots have this week, because, you know, maybe the offense might look good too with Zappe under center and not Mac, because the offense looks completely different. But with Zappe's in there, it just seems like they have more fun, and it seems like they're, in a way, more complete. But I don't know. I still don't have a lot of faith in this game. But I agree with you, Al. I think if Aaron Rodgers ends up playing the last week of the season, this is the final winnable game of the year.
Yep. Yeah, just like you guys said, just I can see them finding a way to win this game, but I'm just praying that they don't, because at this point, I'm just watching to see the Patriots lose.
Play for the pick.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, Bailey Zappi might give them a little bit of a boost this week, but after that, just play for the pick.
Yep.
Because you take a look at all of the other teams in the league that are ahead of the Patriots in the tankathon results. So the two teams that are ahead of them, the Carolina Panthers are 1-10, but that pick obviously goes to the Bears in the DJ Moore trade. And then the Arizona Cardinals. Like, I'm looking at the Cardinals schedule. There's a chance the Patriots could pass the Cardinals, because the Cardinals are playing Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Chicago. That's a winnable game. I think they can beat Chicago.
I think they could beat Pittsburgh. I think they could beat them.
They have a shot. They have a shot to beat Pittsburgh. And then they're at Philadelphia. And then the Seattle, then they play Seattle at home to end the year. Divisional game. Maybe Seattle doesn't have anything to play for. They could pull off two or three more wins. I don't see the Patriots pulling off two or three more wins this year.
Yeah. And that Philly game might not mean anything to Philly either at that rate.
Yeah, because they might have wrapped up.
They might have the number one seed by then. So
right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But the thing is, Carolina's schedule is kind of doable too. They're at Tampa Bay this week. They could maybe win that game because Baker Mayfield's out, so who knows?
They won't.
At New Orleans, home against Atlanta, home against Green Bay, at Jacksonville versus Tampa. But you take a look at it, you think maybe, but I mean, they just fired Frank Wright, so maybe the Panthers have that little, you know, fired head coach boost, similar to what the Raiders have when they got rid of McDaniels. But
yeah, they can't get their thumbs out of their asses in Carolina, though. They can't.
Hey, listen, if the Patriots got number two, I'd be fine with that. But anyways, all right, let's give a score prediction. Who wants to go first?
I'll do it. I'll get it out of the way. 24-13, the Chargers are going to win that.
I need Keenan Allen to go off, so let's go 27-10, the Chargers. Keenan Allen, 3 touchdowns.
I'm going to go 21-13, Chargers. I think the Patriots keep it in check. But I don't think Bailey Zappi does that much. I think he will look good for maybe a couple drives. Maybe he gets a touchdown. But other than that, I think we're going to see the same old Patriots offense. So
I like how we're always having the same score predictions, Al.
I tell you, we think alike.
It's like I'm either saying, oh, we're going to get blown out, or you and I are like almost like on point with it.
We really are.
Are you looking at my notes every – do you like hack into my phone, look at my notes every week?
Maybe. Anyways, we're going to move on. So what do you guys want to talk about next? You want to talk about the Celtics, or you want to talk about the Red Sox?
Well, now we don't talk about the Bruins because they're losing all of a sudden. Now we don't talk
about them. So the Bruins have lost 3 straight. They had a hot start. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. And they're playing San Jose tonight. And San Jose's actually been playing decently lately. So
it's San Jose. Come on now.
I'm just saying.
Freaking Saugus High School could beat San Jose, but yeah.
Listen, Saugus High had a good hockey team back in the day. They were.
That's why I'm saying it.
I know.
When I was in high school, they had a good hockey team.
I know. All right. Let's talk about the Celtics. Let's get into some Celtics talk. So the Celtics continue to roll on. I believe they're 14-4 now on the year. But more importantly, they have won their group for the in-season tournament. They defeated the Chicago Bulls by, I don't even remember the score, but they won by about 30. And they needed to win by more than 23 points. They needed Brooklyn to beat Toronto in order to advance. Brooklyn did their job and beat Toronto in Brooklyn. And the Celtics obliterated the Bulls. I got to tell you something, guys. I think the in-season tournament is quite a success so far. It's got fans tuning in. It's almost like scoreboard watching at the end of the year for any other sport, right? For baseball, for football, or even for hockey. It's the same thing, but it's doing it in a game in November when nobody gives a crap about it usually. But now we got teams that are scoreboard watching. I mean, Joe Mazzulla literally played the starters for the whole game and was hacking Andre Drummond up 30 with like 7 minutes left in the game. It's great. I mean, Billy Donovan got mad about it, but who cares about him? That team's going to fall apart. So, I mean, it's so much fun to watch. And, of course, it's so much fun when the Celtics are actually good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you guys feel about the in-season tournament, but I'm kind of digging the up-tempo, the kind of, again, the scoreboard watching, the focus on it. I don't know. I think Adam Silver's outdone himself once again. What do you guys think?
I know some players, I know Jaylen Brown also mentioned how like the courts are a little bit more injury prone in a way. But you know, they'll find a way to do it. But the in-season tournament, I agree with you. It's been a success. It's been fun to watch. Obviously, you know, there's money on the line. And what do NBA players love other than titles? They love money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool that the Celtics were able to win their group. You know, now when you look at who's left, it's like, all right, three out of the four of these make sense. So it almost feels like it's the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
While it's in season, and you know, just like how there's nothing beats playoff hockey, nothing beats playoff basketball either. That's some of the best, and it's going to be entertaining to watch once the next round gets started, the quarterfinals get started. I think it's always win their quarterfinal matchup. But I'm excited to see it. It's been fun to watch. I mean, the Celtics in general have been fun to watch this year. I have no complaints about this team other than, you know, let's get the bench a little bit better, but that's about it.
One thing, unless Powder, do you have anything about the end season tournament?
No, just like you guys said, it's been exciting to watch. I'm not the biggest like basketball fan. I don't watch a ton, but I've been tuning in during the in-season tournament games, stuff like that. And it's, yeah, I do think they'll beat the Pacers. I think it's going to be tough to win it. I think the teams in it are pretty good, so, but it's exciting.
So the way the tournament is right now, so the Celtics are going to Indiana to take on the Pacers. Celtics are the 3 seed. Pacers are the 2 seed. I mean, the Celtics obliterated the Pacers by 50 at home. So it's like, I think they're going to win that game. They should win it. Then they play the winner of the Knicks and the Bucks. And honestly, if they play the Bucks, I'm not worried about it. The Knicks scare me more than the Bucks right now. They really do. Because the Knicks are just that pesky team that plays good defense. They spread the floor well. They can shoot the ball well against the Celtics. Excuse me. But I don't know. It is going to be tough, but I think that they have a path where whoever they play, if they beat the Pacers, they're setting themselves up for a really good chance of at least getting to the final. One other Celtics thing I wanted to bring up, just kind of a question. Kristaps Porzingis has missed the last couple games with a left calf strain. Does that concern you guys at all, given his injury history?
He'll get over it eventually.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. I think him taking some games off early in the year is fine.
I'd rather him be hurt now than like in April. So
yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
And plus, I think the Celtics knew when they signed him, all right, he's definitely going to miss a couple games, you know, here and there with his injury history. If they were losing while he was out, then I'd be a little more concerned. But, you know, you got Tatum, you got Brown, you got Holiday, you got a more than average Al. You know, it's they look good. If they start going declining a little bit, all right, let's figure it out quick. When can we get him back on the floor? But yeah. Let him take his time. Let him nurse this thing as long as he needs, because we're going to need him come playoff time.
Yeah.
Actual playoff time, not in-season tournament playoff time.
It concerns me a little bit. I'm always weary of guys that have those long injury histories. But again, like you said, Maddie, it's better to have it now than in a playoff run. Like if he gets in like the Eastern Conference semifinals or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he's going to miss the Philly game on Friday night, which kind of stinks because that's a big game for the Celtics. I can't believe they've already played Philly 3 times this year.
We've been playing them like every freaking week.
I know. It's ridiculous. Oh, their schedule is horrible. They have Philly, and then they play Cleveland twice in a row at home, and then Orlando twice at home in a row. That's a weird, brutal stretch.
Mm-hmm. All I know is, you know, December 25th, the Lakers can't get better than that. So Boston, L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Beat L.A. All right.
Probably will.
All right, Powder, you want to give us our ad read for A&B Kitchen Bar, A&B Burgers, and we'll talk about socks to end it?
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Yep.
Feed me, Powder. Feed me.
Like I say every week, Legends Lingo is graciously sponsored by A&B Kitchen Bar and A&B Burgers. A&B Kitchen Bar is located in Boston, Massachusetts, right across the street from TD Garden, where A&B Burgers is in Beverly, Mass, in the North Shore. Whether you're looking for a great burger, some steaks, fish and chips, whatever you're kind of feeling, A&B Kitchen Bar and A&B Burgers will have it. They just redid their menu for the winter with a bunch of new stuff. They always have local craft beers on tap. They have kind of whatever you want. They have wine. They have great signature cocktails and great atmosphere. The Bruins and Celtics, obviously the Bruins playing, losing a little bit right now, but they've been playing well, and Celtics playing unbelievable so far, start the year. You want to get in the atmosphere, get in that crowd. Go to A&B Kitchen, A&B Kitchen Bar right across the street from TD Garden. Get with those fans and make sure you tell them the Legends Lingo Boys sent you.
Shout out to our friends at A&B Kitchen Bar, A&B Burgers. Still want to do that live show. Honestly, I was thinking about this. I think we should do a live show during the Celtics playoff run, like during one of the games.
Good. Yeah.
I don't know. Get on that, Powder. You got the hookup.
I will.
All right. All right. Last thing we're going to talk about before we kind of head out for the night, Red Sox. Winter meetings are actually taking place on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. Do they start on Sunday and go through till Tuesday or Wednesday? I think they start December 3rd.
Let me check that. Winter.
I know they're next week.
They are next week. I believe they start on Sunday. But regardless.
Damn, so like, while football's on, like big names are going to get signed. Are you kidding me?
Oh, it's going to be great. And you know what else is great? The Red Sox have actually been linked to a bunch of free agents.
December 3rd through 6th. So, yeah.
3rd through 6th. So, Sunday through Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, a couple names that have been on the radar. Obviously, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. That's one name. Shohei Ohtani's obviously been up there. But Jordan Montgomery is an interesting name because Jordan Montgomery is actually spending his offseason in Boston because his wife is doing, I think she's doing something in the Boston hospitals. And Montgomery's been seen working out at Boston College. So I don't know, guys. I mean, I know that's kind of a little thing that's like whatever, but the Red Sox have checked in on Montgomery. He's working out in the offseason. That would be a name I would love for the Red Sox to add. Truthfully, I think if you get Montgomery and Yamamoto to go along with Sale, Bayo, and then whoever you want for your fifth starter, that's a pretty, pretty damn good rotation, a much improved rotation at that. So, I don't know. Do you guys think anything happens at the winter meetings for the Red Sox? And who is the move that you think is going to happen? Because I got my name. And no, it's not Jordan Montgomery.
Man, do you want to go?
I've been going first a lot. You know what, Powder? You go first. Let's be nice to you.
I do think they're going to sign someone. I can't think of someone off the top of my head, but I definitely think it's going to be, like you said, not someone like a top-level name like a Montgomery or someone like that, but I definitely can see him signing some reliever or trying to look up some names right now. I could see them signing even not even just a reliever, but maybe even go for a Rhys Hoskins during these winter meetings, someone like that that isn't the biggest name on the market, but is someone that'll definitely help the team out. So I'll say Rhys Hoskins.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you right now who they're gonna sign.
I don't get to go.
You can try. If you say my name, I might get mad at you.
Juan Soto. Watch them pull something off like that. Is that what you were going for, Al? Oh, no.
No, he's going to be a Yankee.
Oh, yeah.
Watch them pull off a name like that. You know, what's our new guy's name? Craig something?
Craig Breslow.
Yeah, he's going to want to go. He's going to want to start off hot. He's not going to want to do like what Dombrowski does and completely screw over our farm system and just trade it all away for guys who could win now. I think he's going to do a big time move. He's going to go get somebody like a Juan Soto, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun when that happens. I can't wait to be horribly wrong though. I can't wait, but that's what I can see, a big time trade like that.
I'm going to tell you exactly what they're going to do. You ready? Not to get the cough out of the way for dramatic effect. They are going to sign Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I think they're going to get it done because they know that starting pitching is what they need. They know starting pitching is a priority. They know that Yamamoto is one of the best international prospects to come out in quite some time. And I think that the Red Sox, like Maddie said, want to make a big splash. What better splash to make than getting a guy that's been linked to the Mets and a guy that's been linked to the Yankees and even the Dodgers as well. They're going to want to spend. They have money to spend. They're going to spend it on Yamamoto, get him in here. And I think they're going to end up getting Jordan Montgomery, and I think they're going to improve that rotation. That's my prediction for the winter meetings. Right there. Real quick, before we kind of wrap up our Red Sox talk and the episode, there have been conflicting reports about Shohei Ohtani. People are saying the Red Sox are out of it. Some are saying that they're still kind of lurking. What do we think about the Red Sox and Shohei Ohtani? Is there any substance there, or do we think he's just a pipe dream at this point? Because I think he's a pipe dream. I don't think he's coming here.
I think he's a pipe dream. I saw the Cubs made an offer today. Probably, I think the three teams you're going to keep an eye on is the Cubs, the Dodgers, and the Blue Jays. I think it's down to those three teams.
I agree. Pipe dream. It obviously would have been nice, but I just don't think the Red Sox are in the right spot for him to sign right now.
Yeah, the Red Sox aren't getting Ohtani. It was nice while it lasted, but you know what? We're on to bigger and better things. He's going to go to the Dodgers. He's going to get his money, and then he's going to probably win a World Series title, and we're going to cry. But it is what it is. Anything else, guys, we want to talk about before we head out for the evening and for the week?
Happy birthday, Mom. I know you don't watch this, but happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Burnett.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Maddie B.
That's my mom. I got to call her after this.
There you go. Being a good son. As always, make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Make sure to check us out everywhere on Twitter, especially at Lingo Legends. We'll be back next week for episode 250, by the way.
Ooh,
250 episodes. That's a big one for us. But for Maddie B continuously raising the roof and going crazy like the wacky inflatable flailing tube man, that's Tom Powder Cadmus. I'm your host, Alan Hegan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 250.
Yes, sir.